Welcome to Notcast, episode 267, End of the Line, for 2014. I'm Savrin.
I'm Shiva.
He's classy. And together we are Notcast. Holy shit, kids, it has been a couple weeks.
Yes, it's been a very busy week.
Nothing happened at all.
Yeah, you know, you just had fun with friends, you went out of town, nothing important.
Yeah, I just kind of lay around and slept the last 2 weeks. No.
That's totally what I did, too. I mean, just lazing around, didn't do anything. Lyra is quite unhappy. So, yes, the con has passed. My con has passed. And we are in the post-convention recovery phase.
It passed as painlessly and easily as a kidney stone.
A little bit less blood.
It wasn't quite that bad, but
it wasn't really bad at all.
Busy.
So yeah, the PonyCon is over with. We grew about 22%. Raised $18,000 for charity for St. Jude's.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer. And pretty much everybody had a good time. I ran around like a chicken with my head cut off, as one would expect a con chairman to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're not doing your job,
I know, right?
putting
out fires hither and yon.
Does that mean that you could not be found in the gaming room playing a card game while supposed to be con chair?
No, there was none of that. And I neither did I make any inappropriate comments towards any guests or... There's lots of things I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't see most of our guests. I interacted with 3 of the 10 at any one point because I was just too busy. I have liaisons for that. I have a VIPR head for that because I have too much shit to do. But it's fine. I mean, unlike some other cons where their con chairs sit down and snarfle awkwardly into the microphone and do all the main panels themselves despite being, you know, supposedly co-chairman.
Oh, really?
There's this guy.
What kind of person would do something like that?
A shithead.
What?
Seriously, I was on stage twice. Opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies. That was it.
And the rest of you were doing laps.
Yeah, laps. I had my doorknob cane with me the weekend.
I was going to say, did you have, like, a pedometer? Do you know how many?
God, I wish I did. So, I don't have I was really tempted to buy a Fitbit or an Up or something similar. Because I probably ran several miles over
a
the
day.
Course of the weekend. Just doing loops, going from my room to the ops, to reg, to vendors, to main events, hither and yon. I mean, again, I think I'm kind of crazy. Because I enjoy the challenge.
That's like what I said for Fiesta. It's not always when I get done what I would call fun. But it's satisfying.
Yeah.
You feel like you did something.
You've contributed to your community.
You've worked your ass off. You can sit back and say, I did a thing and I did it well. But it's not like, wee! Like, I'm having so much fun. Because you spend part of the weekend tired. You spend part of it angry. You spend part of it... I mean, you spend it frustrated. Sometimes there's highs where it's like, yay, and you get to have good conversations with people, and something pulls off and an event goes flawlessly. So there's ups and there's downs, and then there's sideways, and then there's what the fucks. There's
to be honest, you know, our incidents were all one-offs. We had one dude fuck off his panel, just didn't show up.
And that happens every con.
We had one person hurt themselves.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that one.
Somebody was trying to be a badass and lifting one of the base plates for the light rigs. Dropped it on their fucking foot. Oh, God. He was like, I was a dumbass. That was my mistake. We took care of him.
Did he have to go to urgent care?
No. Oh. He just mashed his foot. He didn't break anything.
Good.
His toenail's fucked up now.
I know there was, like, one broken table in, what was it, the lobby?
Somebody had, like, put a magnet underneath the piece of glass on top of the table. It's just a plate of glass on top of the to protect the wood. Someone was an idiot and sat like a magnet or something on it. So when someone sat on it next, it just broke the corner off. We had somebody in ops, either someone on the low end or someone being an idiot in there, broke a vase. They're charging us $150 fucking dollars for an ugly ass brown vase.
Well, that's why you have to fear. I mean, people are like, oh, they're being such hard asses and, you know, don't tape things to the walls. This thing is that when hotels charge you, they don't do it by reasonable amounts.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that they, any damage you occur is about four times what you would expect. And it's like the $150 for ugly ass vase. They
yeah, you could get
$20
hell,
$10 else.
On clearance at Kohl's yeah. with a coupon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was a shitty looking vase, but some dumbass knocked it over and broke. You know, at least we were up front with it.
Yeah.
They were probably like, this offends my artistic sensibilities.
Yeah. Deep. So if you peel the stain off the wall or you wallpaper, they're not going to charge you whatever it costs them to fix it. They're going to charge you like $500, you know, to repaint it or whatever. It's not a reasonable cost.
If you shit everywhere,
you're in trouble. I mean, and like it was little one-off things like that. And other than that, I mean, it was very well behaved for the most part. And you know, as it happens, there's some people that were not really good fits. But most part, all the people I got this year were really good. I'm really satisfied with how the con went, and it doesn't hurt that we started the con in the black. We actually made a pretty decent amount of money that will carry forward into next year, which means we can do some better stuff.
Yeah,
that's the goal of any convention, you know.
Let's make sure you can improve next year, and not you're starting off with a debt.
Yeah, everybody got paid.
That's good.
That was one of those things. Like day zero, we had all the cash on hand, parsed out and in envelopes, ready to hand to people when they arrived.
And I imagine they're happy to see.
Oh,
that
quite a bit
compared to some of the other conventions.
Have. Yeah, or it's like you go to some and they're like, "Yeah, we don't have your per diem until we make some more sales."
Yeah, that's no
bueno. But
and you take the money and you stuff it into Mitch Larson's hands and you say, "Here's your 30 pieces of silver to give the devil when I see you in hell."
Then he's like, "I'll write that in my next book."
Actually, it was in the Kevin Costner Robin Hood, if I recall correctly.
Okay,
just always been a good line that I've remembered, and just like. I've always wanted to do that, to have cause to use that, you know, like quitting a job, just, you know, get the fuck out.
I was the dealer's den at Nightmare Nights, and so I spent all weekend sitting next to, it was a combination table. There's like the person who did all their artwork for the. And then there was this dude, I can't remember his name, and he was shilling a game. This game that Saverin happens to have out on his table.
Yes.
And it's, what is it? Twilight Sparkle.
It is called Twilight Sparkle's Secret Shipfic Folder.
Now, I like ponies. I'm not super into ponies. You know, I know a little bit about it. But I was mostly helping out Nightmare Nights because they used to be a shoot off of Drama.
Yeah.
That thing. And so I sat next to this person all weekend, and he had the patter down pat. By the end of the weekend, I could do all the variants on his patter because I'd heard it many
times. Siam bought a copy.
Siam?
Your dude?
Yeah. Oh, Siam.
Siam, sorry.
Yeah. And he's even less pony than I am. Like, I think he's seen an episode and just doesn't give a fuck.
But it's a fun little game that stands on its own, even if it wasn't pony.
It was after listening to it and all the horrible permutations. Yeah, he ended up buying a copy.
So the conceit of the game is that Twilight Sparkle is a fanfic author.
Most prolific one.
Ever.
Ever.
And she doesn't write about fictional ponies. She writes about the people she knows. So the way the game is played, it always starts with the first card in the core, fanfic author Twilight. And every single card has flavor text of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So this one says,
"It tastes like peanut butter."
She was no writer. She was a prophet. Her words spanned the universes, sang hymns to the terrible improbability of life and love. She was like unto a god, Twilight was. Element of magic, an autobiography.
I think his particular patter was, she will ship all of her friends together with no respect for sexuality, age, or what was the other, or harmonious mane and tail combination.
Yes.
So basically, think about Twilight writing incredibly horrible plot-pointed fanfic, and you have to basically build points by doing horrible, horrible, cliched
fanfic.
Including you can ship Twilight with herself.
Yes, there's alternate universe versions, and there's actually goal cards. So this card here, so we have Zecora. You start out with 4 pony cards, 3 ship cards, and there's 3 goal cards on the table. The top 3 cards that I have here. So goal-wise, I've got the Quiet Game. Win this goal when 2 Fluttershys are shipped together.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 3 or 4 in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Time Travelers Among Us. This goal, when at least 5 time travel ponies are in play on the board at one time. There are several alternate universe ponies.
And Doctor Who's.
And Doctor Who's.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, maybe. Win this goal when Twilight Sparkle is shipped with Zecora. And there's this one, this particular third goal, there's like 4 cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically Twilight Sparkle writing herself into a fan fiction where she ends up with Celestia. And it starts with Cheerilee,
mm-hmm.
then there's Zecora, then there's Luna, and then the final goal card for that one's called Hot for Teacher. And it's shipped Twilight with Celestia. But this one says, well, maybe. And it's Zecora, and she has like Celestia's mane. And it says, Twilight knew she couldn't get to Celestia just yet, but the zebra was an okay substitute, but only with a few adjustments. And
oh my god, that's
that expression.
The art in this game is really good.
Oh god, that's hilarious. The artist's name
is Pixel Prism.
It's basically Zecora sitting there deadpan.
Twilight's holding a bottle of main dye.
She's just sitting there like, oh my god. It's the pony version of leave the hat on.
Well, no, the Cheerilee version has Twilight leading Cheerilee by the hoof with a paper bag overhead that has a crudely drawn Celestia on the front that says, "You're my favorite student." And it is, "I guess you'll do."
Oh.
And so you link these. So you start the game with 4 ponies, 3 ships, and then 3 gold cards on the table. So you have the ponies. And it's the full gamut, you know. But there's like Mahou Shoujo Derpy, Magical Girl Derpy, that has very strange effects. There's Moe Fluttershy, Mortal Celestia, Mr. and Mrs. Cake, Nightmare Moon, Pink Amina, Princess Cadence, Princess Celestia, Princess Luden. The full Royal Guard Hank.
Plus a couple different versions on some of them.
Royal Guard Hank.
Star Student Twilight, Star Swirl the Bearded. Great, powerful Trixie, the Wonderbolts.
All of them
counts as a single pony, but may count as either male, female for all goals, ships, and powers.
Oh.
Scratch, young and hot Granny Smith, and the full variety of the ponies with multiple variants of each.
So even if you can appreciate some of the bad fan fiction tropes out there, I mean, I was looking at this as like, okay, take any popular TV show, whether you're keep thinking about Supernatural because there was a couple of one where people were writing fan fiction about them. Have you got? You were watching Supernatural.
Reading up.
Mm-hmm.
So the third deck that I haven't talked up yet is called the Ships deck, and mm-hmm. these are the trope that Twilight is writing the story.
Mm-hmm.
There's On the Lam. Whoops, wrong spell. When you attach this card to the grid, you may choose one pony card attached to that ship. Until the end of the turn, that pony counts as the opposite gender. And there's... So that's what it does. When you attach this card to the grid, you may choose one pony card to test the ship. Until the end of your turn, that pony card counts as a race of your choice. Can't affect Changeling. Then there's like just basic ones like Suspiciously Romantic Random Picnic, The Other Mare, There Are No Brakes on the Love Train, They Fight Crime, and Trading Up, which is the aforementioned series of Twilight trading up from Cheerilee to Zakora to Luna to Celestia.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's Twilight like waving off Cheerilee, who looks very disgusted. And here's another one. What did I do last night? It's Twilight Sparkle laying between Celestia and Discord looking very shocked. And there's... So this game is available for free online.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to their website. I think the website's Horrible People Games. and you can download the card blanks. You can download the game. It's in Tabletop Simulator. You can only purchase the physical card sets at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool is...
There's Princess Brayburn.
Yeah, it's you're a princess, Harry. And that's one of the only ways you can get the goal card Pretty Pretty Princess, which is Twilight Sparkle with wings and a horn looking very evil. And it's a 3-point gold card because it's so hard to do.
Mm.
One of the cool things is we had some con exclusives.
Yay! Sorry, there's a Fluttershy one.
Oh, yeah.
It's just they're horrible and hilarious.
So, like, for this we had Spirit Chaser and Saros, the two of the con mascots. We had then Luna, Queen of the Bats. And they all were marked with the logo that the con was assigned.
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell you their exclusives. I also have a couple from BronyCon that are mascots. There's Gone Batty, which is, you know, it basically is a ship card. When you attach this card to the grid, this may choose one pony card. And until that end of that turn, that pony counts as having the Bat Pony keyword. And then Senpai, which is one of the con OCs, like, Luna, Queen of the Bats, blushing.
Yeah.
And the goal is when Luna is shipped with any pony with the Bat Pony keyword, if this goal is completed by shipping any Bat Pony with Luna, Queen of the Bats, that goal is worth 3 points instead of two. Princess Luna, her glowing orb slitted like her protege's gaze. Her protege's gazed down upon Spirit Chaser and Saros, who both quivered with excitement. She sniffed, flapping her bat-like Bat Pony wings. "We will adjourn to our chambers post-haste," she claimed royally. It's the flavor text.
It's actually purposely written badly. Like,
yes.
She flapped her bat-like bat pony wings. God.
Budding curiosity. Win this goal when any pony is shipped with an opposite-gendered version of themselves. Apple Brandy blushed as Applejack circled him, eyeing him up and down. "So it worked," she said, mostly to herself. "And here I thought it was just a silly myth." And like every card has some sort of flavor text.
Mm-hmm.
Invasive species. Win this goal when six Earth Pony Earth Pony ships are on the board at one time. The Earth Ponies were happy to slave away in the soil, creating food for their betters, as they should. No magic and no wings left them unfit for higher pursuits. An illustrated sociological study of evolution.
Oh God.
Its magical horns are touching is a goal. It's not creepy. Win this goal when Twilight Sparkle is shipped with Shining Armor.
That's horrible.
It's just experimenting. Win this goal when three mares are shipped with any one Rainbow Dash. My First Slash needs more lesbians. Pomp. Pretty Pretty Princess. I'm trying to find the one where it's Rainbow Dash Fan Club. Oh, Shining Armor approves of this experiment. Just look at the
Oh, yeah,
start.
You told me about this one.
It's when you ship Cadence with any mare, and it's
Shining Armor
in the background, like, pumping his arms in the air, like, yeah! Shining Armor approves. It's a fun game, and I've played it online with my friends quite a bit. I have not had the opportunity. In fact, I actually broke open the game just now because I was a little busy over the weekend. But it is a fun little game, and there's actually room in the box for
the
custom,
the con exclusives. Yeah.
And they're working on some expansions. They're actually working on a new game, like building a better OC or something like that, where it's about making the absolute worst, most deviant art tier.
Oh, well, I already did that with Donut Steel. I forgot your rules card.
Oh, I might need that. Except it's not really a rules card. It's, hey, they forgot to put rules cards in here, so...
Well, actually, as the spiel went, they had a misprint, and two out of the three cards didn't get printed. One did, but it's got the rules on it. You have no idea how many times
I heard that. Just the various faces and stuff on the box. It's, it is probably one of the best things to come, that was there at the con. So yeah, convention. Woo! So I just realized we've been talking and bullshitting. We don't have our iPads.
Oh.
Handy.
Oh, well, I mean, I've been using my phone for the Gmail the last few weeks.
Yeah, is this one of those I just realized?
Oh.
Do you know where your iPad is?
I think it's in the bag behind you, Fuzz. My derpy bag. All right, cool. Should still be charged, too. That's just one of those things where I was like, huh.
Yeah, I need a thing.
Well, I've not heard of this one.
Yeah.
Ooh, Atchul's in here.
That was obviously not.
I don't know. It could have been.
No, it was not. All things considered, holy crap.
You had a busy week.
I had a busy weekend.
Did you see the what the fuck I posted to Twitter today?
God, the first picture in here is Fluttershy, and she's gaping like a spastic at a fireworks show.
Put that down, Fuzz.
So, my weirdness of the week after the PonyCon, which is pretty damn
weird. Yeah, you survived
that. So, my dad calls me, I think he's like 2 days ago, and there's a group of kids that me and my sister used to run around with. They were co-workers of my dad. That's how they met that family. And basically childhood, we ran around like crazy little ruffians all over their property. They're really good people. We were closest to their youngest boy and their oldest girl. And these are some of the most generous, awesome people. I haven't seen the boy since I was more than three times since I was like 10. But my dad's kept in contact with their father, and he's one of my dad's best friends. And I've seen the father, I don't know how many times, a number at least. But he's done my dad huge favors. And like last February, when my mom died, they were ready to just come out on the drop of a hat and help us do whatever we needed. You know, through like snowstorms and everything, you need us, we'll be there. We lucked out. We didn't actually need the help because we managed to get it done. But they were ready to just drop everything and come help because that's the kind of people they are. And they're not just people who make noises. They show up with, you know, he would have gotten all the people from his like Mason's Lodge to come and give us a hand. He's that kind of person. Well, I got word from my dad that his oldest boy, his youngest boy, the one I ran around with and played like crazy little savages when I was a little kid, had like two girls, I think, but he was a career military, and he'd been stationed over in Afghanistan. He'd done his 20 years, and he was due to come home, and he was done. Well, he died suddenly. And we're like, but he was like a month from getting out. What happened? They didn't have any details at that point in time. At first, it was just a really big shock. Like, oh, God, he was coming home in a month. And he was retiring. He had everything. And, you know, he'd survived his 20s. He'd survived several tours in Afghanistan. He'd made it, and he died just as he was wrapping up. My dad calls me today at work, and he's like, well, I heard some more about what happened. And apparently it wasn't just that he was coming home. He had actually been left Afghanistan. He was being out-processed, so he had been shipped over to Germany. And so I don't know if it happened on base or whatnot, but basically someone opened up on him and another serviceman. The other guy is in critical, and they shot and killed him. Apparently it was on base.
So it was like a...
So kind of like
shit.
Fort Hood. Like for like another Fort Hood. We don't know any details. We don't know, you know, if it was another soldier or like whatnot, but he was done. He was on his way processing out of the military, and it wasn't enemy fire. It wasn't anything. It was most likely because it was on base, another PTSD where somebody just, they hadn't caught the shooter last we heard, but he was gunned down most likely by one of our own.
That's fucked up.
And he was on his way home.
Yeah, it's like...
just he'd done his 20 years, he made it through Afghanistan, and then some fucking nut job kills him on his way home. I mean, I don't remember him all that well, but I know his folks. And his folks are devastated. They had 3 boys. Oldest of one, as far as I know, is still in good condition. But the middle boy, when I was about 10, got hit by a car and became very brain damaged. They essentially lost their middle child to a car accident. So, and he's been institutionalized. So they effectively had 2 boys left. They're 2 girls. And now they've just lost a second son to a very senseless place. So my dad's going up, and this guy he's really into the Masons, and he's part of some of the associated clubs that go with the Masons. They're called Widow Sons. They're basically bike clubs. And apparently there's going to be about 500 of them coming up to escort. He's getting full military honors. So, but it's like, god damn. I mean, that's my what the fuck of the week. I mean, that's...
yeah, that's pretty what the fuck.
I hope they catch whoever did this.
Real.
I mean, that's heartless.
It's kind of, it's like in that, you know, the movie, it's like, I've only got another week to retirement. Well, that guy's not making it in the movie.
Yep.
That sucks. Mm.
Yeah. So, that's been my big thing, like, the last couple days.
So I went to OkuCon.
Yeah, how was that?
That was what I did the last week.
Like, I busted my ass for a con. Shiva got some bad news. You went to a vocal con.
Speaking of vocal con, I guess it's happening over Halloween next year, they said?
They are trying to get those dates.
Blue Otter said on their Facebook page that they confirmed it.
Oh, good.
Okay, good. Because I texted...
I'll be able to go next year.
I texted HG the dates of Nightmare Nights next year so that hopefully... there could not be a clashing of dates this year.
Yeah, so let me address that real quick, because I know that, I don't know if they listened, but still it's something that, like, it was not intentional on our part, right?
When the hotel had free.
It's when the hotel had free, but we were going to be on the same dates as last year, and then apparently some very high up in Mary Kay decided she was going to take over the entire hotel for her wedding. Yeah. And they are a multi-billion-dollar multinational and get their way.
Mm-hmm. They flex their muscles.
Yeah, and so we had the choice of Halloween weekend, which would probably slaughter our numbers, because people want to go to, like, haunted houses and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the weekend before, which we found out after the fact, it was OkuCon weekend. It was not intentional, and I like those guys and wish I could have gone, and next year it looks like I will be able to.
I really want to go, so. Last year I missed it because of my trip to Mass.
Well, then really a trip.
Huh? No, no, no. When I actually went up, I visited Mom in October.
Oh, okay.
And then she got sick in December. So, no, I was actually up there for that this time last year. This year, it was Nightmare Nights. I'm going to be glad to go back next year. I can't wait, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be better about my time off, because basically I got a half day that Friday, and I drove up there. And I got up there at, like, 5 o'clock on Friday. And I stayed till about 2 o'clock on Sunday. So I guess I got like 2 days of con. But it'd be nice if I could actually hold on to some time off for that late in the year. And, no, I stay at the lodge. I like the lodge. But through the, you know, just be there a little bit longer. And because I don't even go up there to socialize that much anymore. I socialize with like the couple folks that I know that live in that area that I don't get to see very often. But, and, you know, I'll go to like one or two panels. I mostly go because it's like, it's quiet, it's peaceful, it's isolated, and I just relax. Like, I spent some time just sitting in the lobby of the lodge reading, finished a Doctor Who book I was reading, which is a story of the war doctor that takes place before the 50th anniversary special, which is pretty cool that somebody set a story in that time frame.
I just want to go up there, twiddle my thumbs, and sit outside in the cool. You know, maybe find a few more welcome scorpions for Savern.
I like reading. I read when I relax. I relax, and that's how I relax.
Yeah, and that's actually part of the reason. Tomorrow, well, it'll probably be going up. I can probably put it tonight. On Halloween, going down to TRF.
And that means what for
Texas Renaissance Festival down in Houston?
I keep forgetting you're going to do that. And after last weekend, all three of my guys are like, "I want to twiddle my thumbs." I'm like, okay. Next weekend, as a not go anywhere, not do anything, just...
Well, this weekend is just like, I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to inform the people that the people that will normally try to call me that I will not be available.
You're going to go off the reservation?
I'm going to go off the reservation. I'm going to keep my phone on airplane mode when I'm at the park. I will be taking photos. I ain't answering phone calls. I'm not going to look at con emails. I'm going to have the hiccups. I'm not going to respond to Twitter. I'm going to go. I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to run around in silly costumes, maybe. But I'm not going to deal
with con shit.
With con shit.
Everybody needs that decompress.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, seriously, yesterday, getting to sit down and just wow with you guys, you and Sero and Tesser and Tyrion, was a lot of fun. And blew those dudes up, got lots of loot.
Completely,
everybody had fun.
You know, nothing con or furry or pony related. Just,
I have frost bolts and ice lances and fireballs for these motherfuckers. Let's go. You know, it was fun.
It was very fun.
So, we actually have a few emails. And we should probably get into it. Because it is 9:10.
Let's rock this shit.
We're only 34 minutes in right now.
Okay.
We shall get this party started.
I'm pulling up my did not guest email on my phone here.
Yeah, the last one we have is from the 16th. Wolfman. We had this other one that's like, interview this number one iTunes podcaster in erotic fiction or something.
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Like, that's not how I roll. Sorry. Like, oh, you write erotic fiction? What kind of... Are they foxes? No? Humans? Boring. Get out. Come back when you have an imagination. And or not. Unless you're a chick. No dicks allowed.
Ah, jeez.
No fudas.
I like fudas.
Fudanari, golly, what a day. I'm straight. I'm totally straight. I put a big thick horse cock on that mare. Oh.
That's not too far off. What pops up on my Tumblr feed occasionally. And bronies? Probably more Fuda lovers and bronies than furry. Anyways, yeah. Moving on.
I don't know. Looking at my FA stream.
Well, you don't count. You're a chat.
Yeah, y'all got dicks and vaginas and extra vertebrae and
37 tits.
Vertebrae in your vag so that it like curves in on itself, and I don't know.
and they're actually like part TARDIS because they're bigger on the inside.
You just wiggle your hips. You're like, sorry, popping my vag knuckles.
So this first one's from the Wolfman. It is pretty long. Go. Hey gang, you seem to be short on emails lately, so here we go. First off, wish Savern luck with Nightmare Night. going to be busy. I'm going to be busy prepping for TeslaCon at that point in time, because this year I'm doing three separate presentations, complete with props and hopefully video to put up on YouTube eventually. Why do I do these things to myself? Maybe I'm working out that masochistic streak, or the sadistic one. Anywho, on to an actual topic of sorts. I wanted to ask a question related to your discussion of isms in the last show. Hopefully this won't turn into the same sort of mess that happened when I brought up rape culture. Sorry for opening that can of worms a while back. Question is, how the heck is anybody supposed to navigate that minefield? As a yet unpublished author, I've been told alternately that I'm not supposed to write characters who are part of cultures that I'm not part of, because even if I research it and do well, I'm exploiting those cultures for my own profit. I'm not supposed to just write characters who are like me, because I should be showing positive examples of various minority groups and other cultures. I'm not supposed to show negative portrayals of minority groups or cultures, because that's xenophobic. I'm not supposed to just show positive portrayals of minority groups and cultures, because that's overly simplistic and patronizing. The list goes on, but I think the point is made.
I think it's basically you're fucked no matter which way you go.
I think...
Write what you want.
Write what you want. Say, tell everyone else to fuck off. It seems like there is no way to put in a minority group without upsetting people. But if they're not included, you get lambasted for lionizing privileged group X. I've always taken the approach that if I've written something that doesn't offend somebody, I haven't written anything specifically, anything especially worthwhile. I just prefer to stick to being intentionally offensive. If for no other reason, so I know who I need to pat down for stray cutlery. Yeah. I cannot word right now. Now, fortunately, using a furry world helps to make this a little bit easier, but even then, there are tightropes to walk. Any suggestions, particularly since all of you are in one sort of creative endeavor or another? Don't listen to Tumblr ever, and write what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start having to worry about what other people want you to produce, you're not making it for yourself. And that's not right. Unless they're paying you. Then you should make what they want. On a related note, I would dearly love to know if there is a polite way to ask somebody what pronouns to use. As someone attracted to the heavily androgynous, I really like the feminine guys and the boyish girls who has been known to put me into a position of really wanting to talk to somebody, but not having any idea of whether or not I should address them as male or female when talking to other folks, or how careful I should be about expressing interest in a rural college town. You want to be a lot more careful about being a guy expressing interest in a feminine guy than one asking out a boyish girl. Of course, with my luck, most of the time they have a solidly androgynous name as well, such as Pat or Sam. You quietly ask them as an aside, hey, how would you prefer I address you? Or you use neutral like ones they. Like they or y'all.
Y'all's a good one.
Or it.
No, not no. It.
Is that not right?
No.
I haven't been reading Tumblr lately.
No, it's just.
Yeah, just, I know. No, I'm.
Just say y'all.
I'm being very facetious. Never
channel your inner
refer
text
to somebody as an it.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. If when in doubt, just ask. If they give you a funny look, at least you didn't offend them. And if they do tell you, oh, well, I prefer to address me by male or female pronouns. Personally, if someone's like, you should use, you know, Tumblr pronouns, I'll give them a funny look myself.
You should address me as master.
My pronouns are master, master, master self. D-5-fo-fum.
Well, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, okay. My pronouns are fee, fi, fo, fum.
Sticking my thumb in your bum.
Yeah. So, there you go. Finally, as a comment towards subject to people who gripe about, this pick would be so much better if only X were Y instead. If you want to see more of a particular type of art from a given artist, pay for it. Don't just complain at the artist. And for God's sake, don't reply with comments on pics you liked and say, finally, some X art. Do you have any idea how offensive that is? To reduce an artist's hard work and effort to, eh, none of that matters if it doesn't have the right permutation of dangly bits in it.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Well, I guess we already talked about that because he's referencing our discussion.
Yeah, so like,
I guess we don't need to rage on that again. It's just, it's so fucking retarded, like, you know?
Why doesn't this have, you know, this would be so much better if that, you know, that particular cartoon horse was this particular cartoon horse.
Or had a penis.
Or that particular penis, That particular that particular penis needs a horse attached.
Like, well, I mean, and they do that too, because at the same time, for real, people are like, well, I prefer animal genitalia, and this is human.
Or animal genitalia is icky, and it should be
like, why human-ish. Does it look like this? Why does it look like that? This is, happens in furry a lot, too. It's like,
that's
you know,
what I was.
Why does that anthro horse not have a horse cock? Why does that non-feral wolf have a feral-looking dick? I don't know. I don't read the comments on
that. Why does that feral wolf have a horse cock?
Hey, I've seen that.
That's a valid question because I've seen that too.
Yeah.
I've seen horse cocks just stuck on random ass like, critters.
When in doubt, slap a horse cock
what
on it.
What show was it I was listening to? It was talking about furry art and how like the new thing is to just put a horse cock on everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
like every species, no matter what it is, male or female, doesn't matter. Horse cock.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that I have not paid a lot of attention to FA recently, mm-hmm. and I haven't looked through my follows, but I don't tend to follow people that just slap horse cocks on them.
Sometimes if they slap horse cocks against things?
I guess.
Every day I'm swaffling. Shipping is what happens when I decide that two ponies love each other very much.
He's reading the box.
It says on the bottom of the box.
I decided they love each other very much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on. Pay for the art you want, or at least have the common decency to ask politely, or include some actual favorable commentary along with the yay insert orientation or kink here. Seriously, I'm starting to think that basic courtesy isn't just dead. It's been zombified and brought back as a twisted, soulless, brain devouring manifestation of the inherent wickedness of all things.
Yay, fucking.
Tipping my derby, not a trilby. I remain howlingly yours, the Wolfyman. So
speaking of hats, I saw a really fucked up one on a train today.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't quite a trilby. It wasn't quite a fedora. It was like somewhere between the two.
A trildora.
It was, yeah, it was like a trilby, but it was like pulled out more at the front. But that's not the important part. The important part is that it was bright yellow and felt.
The fuck?
Yeah.
They're going for their inner Dick Tracy? I don't know.
Yeah, but his wasn't like felt though, like fuzzy.
He bought it off
and it
FC
was bright yellow. It was not that mustard sand color that Dick Tracy's usually is, like neon yellow. I'm just like, but he was dressed normally otherwise and playing a game on a tablet. And not, so it wasn't like going to a party or anything, you know? Like, it's just odd. What's the matter, Sam?
I was just moving my cards because I'm rotating my cup over here because I'm going to hand Shiva the iPad.
Oh.
Rotate. Coordinate.
Bing bong.
What?
Check out the beats while the DJ balls it.
So did you pick one for me?
Yeah. I'm just going from the bottom up.
Title.
This one's short.
Yes. Title is Ouch, Ouch, Ouch. Hello, assembled persons. I was wondering if any of you remember when you got your wisdom teeth pulled. I had mine pulled on Tuesday, so it's safe to say that soft foods have been a godsend to me. Hope you guys are having a better time than I am. Sincerely, Neo Malik. Yes.
I still have mine.
And they're not interfering?
Nope.
Oh. Mine came.
I'm lucky.
Mine came in weird angles, and I had him get them cut out, and that's how I met my ex-husband.
Oh, how romantic.
Well, I'd met him at AC originally, and he lived in Australia, so didn't really talk to each other much. He was just a dude on the internet. And then the day I got my wisdom teeth removed, I was really heavily sedated and had kind of a bad reaction to it. So I slept for like 14 hours. I woke up. It was the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep anymore, so I hopped on the internet.
Yay!
And lined up with an Aussie and really talked and clicked. From that point, I lived in Australia.
I did that back in the day. Late night on MUDs, hooking up with Australians and having sexy page pose sex.
So,
and then, of course, but they're all used to like their crazy shit in Australia, so they're like, yeah.
Vaginas you pull are my poison.
You pull my penis out of my pants and it's a clock spider.
Hit it with the boomerang, Crikey. No.
So
I saw a tweet yesterday that was like, anything could be a boomerang if you throw it straight up.
I remember eating lots of mashed potatoes, Jell-O, pudding. Eventually moved up to like slightly overcooked spaghetti. Really, really fucking nasty. Like those Ensure drinks.
Ugh,
those are horrible.
They're chalky as hell.
Yeah. What else did I eat? Yeah, I ate a lot of fucking mashed potatoes with various things mixed in.
When I had my surgery, my weight loss surgery, post that, when I had to have fluids for the first couple of weeks. It was fluid only. But then after a while, it was like mashed potatoes, ice cream. Not ice cream, really. You know, very, very soft thing. Mm-hmm. Soup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know the feeling. I know how it goes. Mine was
breast milk.
6 months of recovery.
I remember that first solid meal I managed. I was like, oh my God, real food.
Mm. Well. You saw how much of that gyro I ate tonight.
Yeah. Like a third, maybe.
Maybe.
So mine have been odd in that I did not get them all done at once the way a lot of people do. Because, like, it seems like a lot of people, they're like, they get to that, it's like 17, 18. They're like, okay, we're just going to take them all out. Yoink.
I was like 23, 24.
Mine initially came in. With the exception, actually, two of them came in just fine. And my jaw was long enough, and they weren't bothering me. It was great. But one of them, because they're so far back, sometimes they get kind of missed. And so one of them got a cavity, and eventually they were like, it's pretty bad. We're just going to pull it because it's a wisdom tooth and fuck it. I was like, okay, whatever. The other one was not even with the other teeth on the row. So the toothbrush basically passed over the top of it without actually brushing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that inevitably got a cavity because I'd never remember to like angle it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like it only came up like partway. And the other two were still embedded inside.
Under the gum, never came out?
Right. Now, one of them I have since had removed because it appeared to be moving closer. It was like right around the sinus, and it was like whenever I get any kind of sinus infection or pressure, it caused me more pain because there's an obstruction there.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't move.
So they took that one out. Now, the fourth one is completely 90 degrees to the rest of my teeth.
Oh,
it's in the lower left. So if it ever moves, it's basically going to shove all my teeth out of the way. So if it ever moves, I'm fucked. And they did not want to remove it when I was under getting the other one removed because it is really, really close to my facial nerve on that side.
Ooh.
So they're like, that is a tooth that we don't want to fuck with it unless it becomes a problem because it's, I don't know if it's like a high probability, but there is the probability that you could accidentally damage the facial nerve, which will basically make my lower lip numb for the rest of my life and fuck up my ability to speak. I'd probably have to learn how to talk properly again.
Yeah,
that would be bad.
Yeah, so basically...
It would make our show very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, like two of mine didn't really come out except for like little tips, and the other ones kind of came out a wonky angle, and they started to like break down, and it had gotten to the point where I couldn't open my mouth wide enough. You know, two pieces of bread about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't open my mouth up because the way it locked my hinges of my jaw.
Ooh.
Wide enough to take in two slices of bread. I had to take a sandwich, like the corner, and like eat it like this. You know, just kind of keep angling like little ridges.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't open my mouth wide enough to bite a sandwich.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck, I don't have the money to do this. I can't not do this. Just do it.
But the statistics, Averin, is that I was told was that if you make it to 30 and you have not had any problems with your wisdom teeth, you're probably fine.
Hmm.
Good, because I'm 31.
You know, basically, if you're well into adulthood and there's not been a major issue, you should be okay.
I mean, my central teeth on my lower jaw are fucked up because I was a dumbass kid and tried to do a backflip into a pool and I wasn't close enough to the edge. smacked my head on the concrete.
Ouch.
Actually, my jaw. Chipped one of my teeth, and it kind of shoved the other one slightly out of the way. So my smile is not the best, but, you know, I'm not self-conscious about it. So, next email.
Okay. Sorry, microphone cord. Okay, my big fat mundane wedding. Hi, I own the furry fandom. No, not quite. I owe the furry fandom a lot.
I'm rubbing off on
you. No, it's that facial nerve. It's fucking up my ability to speak.
Please don't rub off on me here.
Sure. The love of my life and future husband is a furry. We met at my very first fur meet and his second, which we now consider our anniversary. Aww. Gay furry art was what helped me realize and accept that I'm gay. But nevertheless, I know I still have shame about being a furry. Aww. I'm out as gay to just about everyone, but I'm not out as furry to my family, to my coworkers, nor to my friends from college and high school.
Your coworkers do not need to know that you're a fucking furry.
Furry is not a sexual orientation. You do not come out.
I'm sure he'll probably acknowledge that we've said that, but
I'm a comic book nerd.
Let's see where it goes here. Since school, I've made new friends into fandom in larger geek circles, and I don't hide my interests from them nearly as much. That brings me to our wedding this coming summer. It's going to be a large event where we invite our current and older friends and our big extended families. It feels like a clash of very different groups of people who all know me differently. This is that I can actually answer this question really good. I'm not that scared of my older friends learning I'm a furry, which I think is progress for me, but I have no desire for my immediate or extended families to learn the truth of how we met. I have a cover story that we met at a regular sci-fi convention in 2011 that occurred a week earlier than the fateful fur meet. Many in our families will have enough of a culture shock from attending their first same-sex wedding. A small number aren't coming at all for that reason. I don't need to throw a furry on top of all that. I know you've said before that furries don't need to feel compelled to come out to coworkers and family members if they don't want to.
He has listened to the show.
Yeah. It's an interest, unlike who's... Someone's feet are on the tablecloth and was dragging it out of the way there. Yeah,
that was me.
Okay.
I was trying to play footsies.
They smell like popcorn.
Frito chips.
Sorry, that's an Okokon reference. You guys won't get that yet. Okay. Compelled to come out to coworkers, family members, or don't want to. It's an interest, unlike orientation, which is a core truth about your personal relationships. But I can't help but feel like I'm still in the closet, even though this one has a fursuit. My first question is this. Is it rude to tell my furry friends on the invite list that this is a mundane wedding? Is that like dragging them into the closet with me? No. Secondly, I feel like I have a split personality that ebbs and flows as furry-related events come and go on my calendar. My fiancé doesn't have this problem as much. He even has a Twitter feed of his pony fandom character that covers many of his real life events, and he sometimes gives it out to classmates in grad school. Any advice on getting to that level of not give a shit? How do you balance your furry life with your mundane life? Thanks, Donovan Elk. So with the wedding,
if only we had somebody who had recently had a large mixed same-sex wedding.
Jeez, who? I don't know anybody like that.
I mean, that's gay.
Yeah, it's kind of in the name same-sex wedding, Savin, but thank you for specifying. So of course, you know, Tyrion and I just had a gay wolf wedding. Literally, hashtag gay wolf wedding. And, you know, we had Tyrion's friends, his gaming group, who have actually sort of integrated into... at least knowing furry, like a lot of his human and brony gaming friends have actually come to Fiesta.
Yeah, why
and,
not?
And a bunch of them like actually went to our live show a couple years ago.
I'm dragging a bunch of my staff up to Fiesta.
Yeah, great. That's awesome.
My brony staff's like, come on, you're going to hang out with the furries. Let's show you how they party.
Yeah.
We party.
That's awesome. Most, I'm going to use some terms that people will probably bridle at here.
But
most normal, sane, well-adjusted people understand that when you go to a wedding, you dress up nice,
and there's going to be Saverin's giving me the creepy face, and there's going to be a lot of people there. That's right.
And no ears, and they understand intrinsically, no ears, no tails.
No ears, no tails, no fur suits, no con badges. I wanted everyone to know who I was.
Wolf hats.
No wolf hats. You know, and they know that weddings, typically, if you're on any sort of decent terms with your family, will have family members there. And most people kind of behave themselves. However, for some of your more derpy friends, again, dipping back into brony terminology here, you may want to let them know that, yes, this is a mundane wedding. You know, my parents will be there. They don't know about the fur faggotry.
Let's keep it that way.
You know, it's one of the, it goes back to one of those old arguments that we've said this before. It's time and a place. You know, if you're going to somebody's wedding, dress normal, goddammit. You know, not everything has to be a fucking statement. You know, don't ruin anybody else's good time. And I do not think it's rude. I actually think for them, it should be respectful towards you. If they respect you, they will not make a scene and they will not be a bunch of fucking assholes when they go to your wedding, which is your special day with your partner, in front of everybody that they care about. Now, we had a furry officiate our wedding. And
photographer and take photos.
And we had a photographer.
And most of our friends.
Yeah, well, the point I was trying to get to with that is that the people involved with the actual moving parts of the wedding were furries as well as friends of ours. So you don't get much furrier than having
best men,
a furry best man, a furry officiant, furry photographer. You know, the only people involved with the weddings that weren't furries were the people working Maggiano's and whoever baked the cake. And yet it was still a very, I almost want to say normal affair, you know, apart from being like a same-sex marriage, which nobody had a problem with. You know, nobody was all fur-fagged out. The most...
I look great in my suit.
The most fan thing I saw was actually from Saverin. Who is wearing his rarity Kitty Mark tie.
Oh, yeah, I don't own that many ties.
But it is actually, it's a very understated design, a little touch of fandom.
Like purple with like blue diamonds.
Little blue diamonds on it.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know, you couldn't tell. You think it was...
Right. Like, I've worn a tie that is black and has a kind of dark design of rows of little tiny question marks. And... people that know me know that I'm a Who fag, and that's probably a reference to Doctor Who, but it's just a neat design to anyone that happens to see it, you know?
In my defense, that was like the one tie I owned at the time. Mm-hmm. I have since purchased two more. They are also My Little Pony related ties. One of the vendors at Nightmare Nights had really nice ties.
They are pretty cool designs.
They're suitably subtle enough. And it just
Derpy one isn't. I mean, they are little derpies.
Little derpies and bubbles. But like the Twilight Sparkle one, mm-hmm. is just a starburst design at an angle.
Right.
Yeah, you would have to know what the hell the design is for you to look at it.
Anyone that's seen the show will recognize that that's Twilight's cutie mark. But
anyone else is like, that's just a nice tie.
Yeah.
Plus the dude that.
But I would just say, you know, that was like and that was very subtle. It's showing respect for me, everybody in Tirin. Everybody was really cool. And, you know, this is true of any wedding. You don't do anything to detract from the people getting married. You know, it's like when there's a woman in the wedding and somebody else decides to wear a much more impressive dress than the bride. It's like, that's a huge no-no.
Oh, hell nah, girlfriend. Yeah.
You're also not supposed to even wear the same color as the bride's dress, because you're not supposed to clash with her in any way.
Good thing neither one of you wore a dress.
Yeah, very true. Because there was a lot of dark suits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't think it's out of line. I think, you know, that thought process should occur to most people naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Most adults should know how to comport themselves at a wedding.
I would hope so.
You would think so.
If there are some people that you are dubious about, and you may well be, it's a big community, then just let them know that, yeah, this is a, it's not a furry occasion. My family will be there, you know, dress.
Don't make me throw you out.
Don't make me throw you out for being a dickwad.
Right. And if your best men are furries, you can also put them on a, no, you handle this. You know, don't. It's kind of where you
take him out
ushers.
Behind the woodshed.
You know, the ceremony itself.
Get the ladles.
Was written in such a way that, and this is why you want a good ceremony, have a writer do it for you, that basically it made perfect sense to, it was one of those things where it's like, if you didn't see the original one, you're going to miss out on a lot. But if you have, you'll get all the details,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he referred to us owning a business together, being members of a community, mm-hmm. and that community coming together and meeting each other through storytelling. And
all
some members of the
nods.
Audience know what kind of stories those were. They were gay Yiffy Furfag stories on Yiffstar. But,
oh, baby.
You know, Tyrion's aunts and uncles didn't know that, you know?
And they still don't necessarily.
Right. They don't know what kind of stories we wrote back when we were in our 20s. And they don't need to. You know, that was the story of our lives. That was how we met. And, you know, you don't have to get
really well.
Yeah. You don't have to get into like the nitty gritty details like that. And it's fine if you say, you're at a sci-fi con or comic con, or you met at a sci-fi con or whatever.
I have to say, I was really impressed with our group of friends and how many people really sharpened up when they came. They knew how to dress, you know.
Who was it that said they had never seen all of their friends dress? Was it Guardian? That said they'd never seen, or it was Guardian or Path, I think. I don't remember. It said they'd never seen this group of people all dressed up before, and he was like really amazed, mm-hmm. you know. It's like, I show you, everyone scrubs up nice, you know.
Yeah,
and they knew to.
You know, I had everything shaved and even showered, right? You know, and had
suits,
my nice suit and tie, and
I wore a dress.
Oh my god!
I know. I borrowed one of Noxie's dresses.
Aww. But no, it was actually really touching to me on a personal level that like everybody really got into it,
mm-hmm.
and treated it with the, like the gravity that the situation deserved.
And I got a little teary eyed during the ceremony.
That's
so sweet. Aww. Everyone like, got dressed up. I mean, it was just so nice. And I've suggested this since that we should maybe once every year or two, like, rent that room and have a big banquet and then just all split the cost or something. Because it was actually really nice just getting so many of our friends together to have a really fucking nice meal.
Oh, and it was really good food.
Yeah, mm. yeah. Like, we ate Italian for, like, 2 weeks after the wedding because they gave us, like, a shitload of leftovers.
Yeah, I helped you clear that out.
Yeah.
you threw yourself underneath that bus.
Oh, if I had to.
Let me take one for the team. You know, give me that calzone.
Give me that fried ravioli.
Oh, that was really good food.
That cake, holy shit.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, God.
Turns out the Crown Plaza can make a really good variation of that chocolate cake, too.
Oh, really?
Holy crap, yeah.
Oh.
Had a wedding reception at the con.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
That was one of the things that we got catered for them, was those particular cakes. Holy shit,
so
it was good.
This is another great example. So there was two bronies, a guy and a girl, who got engaged at Saverin's Pony Con and then got married this year at Saverin's Pony Con. But they'd gotten legally married at a ceremony for family and friends like a week or two before.
Yeah, down in the city where they live in.
And then they had done another wedding ceremony at the Pony Con with all of their brony friends. And
it was completely wild, apparently.
And one of the voice actress guests there officiated it in character. So they basically they had their family and friend completely mundane wedding, if you want to use that word. And then they had their celebration of their fandom wedding at a totally different venue.
Yeah.
And you can do that, too. I mean, that's a really cool way to do it, especially
since Tabitha St. Germain got really into doing the ceremony. One of the guests, for those who don't know, is ordained up the Universal Life Church, up in Canada. So, you know,
she does weddings for folks all the time, and since they'd already been legally married, she didn't have to do anything on the legal side down here.
Right.
So she just showed up and had some great ideas and wrote herself a little script. Mm-hmm. And then all this random stuff happened. There's changing attacks. Deadpool showed up and as men in horse masks kidnapped the groom. Hasbro C&D'd the wedding. Someone shouted, "This conflicts with my headcanon." You know,
it was, You're not OTP.
Like, I ship this guy with this other guy. But I'm straight. Too bad.
So what about the latter part of the email? He was asking when he can get mentally okay with what was it again?
Just not giving a fuck. I mean, you have to just understand that, like, for the most part, people don't give a shit. Personally,
yeah.
I have my PonyFag account. I have my furry account. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
And they cross-pollinate sometimes.
They cross-pollinate.
You know, at work, I have the kind of job where we all have cubicles and we all mostly work pretty solo, and then we have team meetings and stuff like that. I have, even before furry, I have never really been the type of person to make a lot of friends at work. So at work, I'm a completely different person. I'm actually the really quiet guy that doesn't really get up from his desk or talk to anybody. That's my reputation at work.
You get your shit done.
You know? And yeah, you know, people that have met me at cons, listen to this podcast, I sound a lot more outgoing than that. But at work, I'm really not. I'm a totally different, it's like I'm a totally different person. And, you know, that's actually not that weird. People kind of adapt themselves to whatever social situation that they're in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they bounce off and reflect based on who they're talking to and stuff like that. So there's really nothing wrong with sort of having compartmentalization, a separation between your furry life and your professional life.
That's completely
things normal. Like that. You know, some people have jobs where they're a little more out and open and people don't give a shit, and that's cool. Some people live in more conservative areas or a more conservative company, and they keep shit close to the vest. As long as they're happy, that's fine too.
Yeah. And like, you know, it really depends on what you're doing. Like you said, you know, if I'm doing a podcast, I'm loose and relaxed and free with the language. But if I'm standing in front of a crowd addressing them or giving a presentation or whatever, telling them, hey, maybe you shouldn't, you know, drink yourself to excess and fall down the stairs, that'd be bad. P.S. please shower. You know, mm-hmm. It's all very authoritative and very precise. Mm-hmm. It's just different times, different things at different times. So it is now 9:45, and we have been going for a little bit over an hour on the podcast right now. We should stop and save, and then we still have a good handful more, but several of them are Tumblr questions.
They'll tumble on through them.
Yep. All right, so we will be back.
Hello, cunts and cocks. And we're back.
So, AdamandEve.com is just the place you need to go when you need to put something in your butt. AdamandEve.com has a fine selection of things like dildos, and butt plugs, and vibrators, and other such things. Tail plugs. Do you want to have a little fox tail? They have those too.
I hate those things.
Yeah.
I really hate those things.
They're kind of weird.
Tails do not grow out of your anus.
Well, no, they don't. But you don't. You can't attach it to your spine either.
I know. It's like,
kind of hard.
I spent years looking at furry art, seeing it looks like people pooping tails, and this is not helping with the tail pooping.
You're ruining my ad here, Shiva. God.
I didn't know it was supposed to be helping.
All right, you're helping.
Google tail pooping.
So they actually... Welcome back. Apparently there's items in my cart from last time.
Yep.
Except there's not.
I probably put them there.
There's the new stuff. But they do have movies and other such nonsense. And you can use our coupon code NOT. That's
KNOT.
Aw, yeah. And we have changed
Our deal
a little bit. You don't get 50% off anymore, but you get a bunch of extra goodies with your order. You still get the free shipping.
Which helps.
And I mean, there are people that still are using it. Please don't stop using our code. We like it when people buy dongs. And use our coupon code.
Dong Lords.
Lords of Dongs. Lords of War.
That's next month.
Yeah. So they always add new stuff. They've got, you know, various vibrators and penis pumps and masturbators and Adam and Eve Blue Swirl Glass 4-Way G, which is this very crazy looking glass dildo thing. And
wait, 4G like a phone?
Hell, you can even get a Hitachi Magic Wand knockoff.
It'll knock your clit right off your body. That's how powerful
it is.
Like
a baseball bat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't turn it on maximum. You might die.
Well, it appears the little man in the boat died from blunt force trauma.
AdamandEve.com. Yes.
Apparently that just hit the right nerve there, huh?
You have pureed the man in a little boat. I got 7.
Wow. So yeah, that's really good. coupon code NOT. Go use it. Then go fuck yourself.
Yes.
So we have an email from a message from Tumblr. A person has asked, I'm a gay man and a young one at that. About a year ago, I had sex and developed a fissure in my rectum.
Ooh.
Since then, I have felt less of a gay man, since it has not healed fully, nor had sex since. Yeah, those things take a while.
And usually professional care.
This is mostly because I'm not able to top since I'm not very good at sex. How do I feel better and hopeful about my sex life? So, I have had a anal fissure. It's not fun. Basically... Don't use enough lube, dudes. Seriously. If you think it's too much, it might not be enough. And yeah, it took a long time to heal. But you know what? You can still do plenty of things without using your butt.
How long did it take to heal? Estimated.
God, it was only like a year. Because, you know, that area is not...
It's moist all the time. It's
moist all the time, and the area, the muscle, it's a ring muscle. You have the...
You use it constantly.
Flexing.
You can't just stop pooping.
Yeah, and so it takes a long time to heal.
Mm-hmm. Happened to Kevin Smith, too.
Yeah, and he didn't even take it up the butt, unless he does.
He might.
From his wife, you know, begging.
Apparently he doesn't. But...
Oh, okay, whatever.
So, and seek professional care.
So,
go gentle.
Find a doc in your area, if you can, that is gay-friendly. You can look at your local... I don't know where you live, but if you live in a city, there's probably like listings of gay friendly doctors who will look at you and be like, all right, you need to do this, give you some ointment or maybe some suppositories. I don't know how they treat this shit. I had to let mine just kind of heal on its own. It just took a long time. A long time before I could do butt stuff again, let me tell you. But
plenty you can do.
Yeah, use your hands, use your mouth. There's plenty of things you can do, and it doesn't make you any less of a gay man because you're not taking it up the butt.
Yeah, you know, you have more than one orifice.
Your sexuality is not defined on what kind of sex acts you do.
What did he say about toffing?
He says he's not good at it.
Practice.
Practice makes perfect.
Enjoy your practice sessions. Practice a lot.
No, you're not defined. Your sexuality is not defined by the type of sex you're having.
Yeah. Another thing, you also said you're young, and that might be part of why you're not good at topping yet. You know, there's the whole performance anxiety thing when you're just kind of starting out and everything like that. So that's one of those things where you're just kind of, if you want to top, just kind of keep trying it, you know, and don't get too discouraged if things don't work out. But you don't even have to do anal sex, topping or bottoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some dudes just don't, and that's fine. That doesn't make them any less gay.
Just means that they don't like butts.
Yeah. They don't do the butt sex.
Yeah.
Mouths, hands.
Other parts of your anatomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're really dexterous. Or have monkey toes. So yeah, dude, seriously, you're young. You have to give that time to heal. And that doesn't make you any less gay. But, you know, practice topping. Find a willing cock.
Just think you're young enough to heal. If this happened when you were 86, you know.
You'd die.
Not from the butt fissure, but you might die before it healed, yeah.
Yeah. You know, always look on the bright side of
life. Look at it on the bright side. At least he didn't fuck you in half.
Well, we found this poor individual in two pieces. Oh, well, we know what happened here.
That anal fissure got out of control.
Oh, jeez.
We're helping.
No, we're not.
not cast staff members are not professionally, there are helpful. Not trained medical professionals.
And we're not trained to be helpful either, to be fair.
Also, Dr. Mario is not a real doctor. Do not let him touch your genitals.
Let's see. Tips for a new writer. I have an idea for a book I want to write, and I'm looking for suggestions on how to start writing it. Are there some good websites to read, podcasts to listen, or videos to watch? Furry named Grey Wolf.
Isn't there a Furry Writers Guild podcast?
No.
No?
Nope. There are other podcasts that are not associated with the Furry Writers Guild. So there's a pod.
At least you can listen. Me.
There's the Unsheathed podcast, which is not super active right now, but the archives should be online or on iTunes somewhere. And that's Kyle Gold and Cam Harasaki. There's a lot of material there. There's another podcast that started up a little over a year ago called Fangs and Fonts. That's Fangs Like the Teeth and F-O-N-T-S. I spell that out because apparently they get a lot of people confusing it. There's people that think they're called Fangs and Fawns, like the deer.
Oh.
And various other iterations of their name. You can also find them on Twitter at Fangs and Fonts. They're fangsandfonts.com. They are a crew of four people from the fabled Canadas who tackle various...
Mighty Great White North.
Yes. Yoga hosers who tackle various writing topics each week.
I know there's a couple of non-furry writing podcasts. I mean, writing's writing regardless of your genre.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's one, I have not listened to it. I know there's one called Writing Excuses that has won a Hugo Award, and is apparently quite good. Also furrywritersguild.com is the, Furry Writers Guild website, as you might expect. That has a lot of resources on there, lots of links that you can check out. There's a forum. There is a shout box where they have organized chats twice a week. And then rest of the week, people just kind of drop in and out whenever. But there's like a network of people there that you can talk to and everything like that. So I'd maybe go to their homepage and check out some of the resources that they have linked there. I mean, a lot of that might help you out with, like, you know, there's various information out there on structure and plotting and stuff like that. I'd say first and foremost, have a damn good grasp of English and a good grasp of grammar.
Be a good speaker.
And if you already have that and you have an idea, just start writing it. Just get it out of your head and throw it out there. your first draft. I mean, there are some people that edit as they write, but like your first draft is not going to be perfect. And you just kind of get that out of, get the ideas out of your head and on the paper, you know, or electronic paper, you know, use Microsoft Word or something like that. And then you can go and refine it, you know, or you could try to structure a layout beforehand. I tend to write more instinctively when I do it. So I just sort of bang it out for a first draft and then go back and make edits and changes and move things around where it makes sense more later on. But I mean, just write would be probably the best advice. Also read a lot. You cannot be a good writer unless you're a reader and you read a lot, read various genres in and out of the fandom and just expose yourself to a lot of literature and a lot of different writing styles, and all that stuff rattling around your head will help you become a better writer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So I'm done.
Okay, cool. There we had a really nice short one here. Hey, Saverin, I just learned that in Asia, Mitsubishi has a model of car called a Saverin. It's a minivan.
So I'm a couch and you're a minivan.
Yeah, check out that ass. Look how much shit I can fit in that back end.
Apparently it's seat six.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one of those things. Do you Google Saverin? That's what comes up, pictures of minivans.
Nice.
I don't have a lot of art commissioned.
It's so
hot. Oh yeah. I bet that shows up on Dragon's fucking cars.
Here's a dragon fucking Saverin or a Saverin.
That's silly.
Yes. Yes.
An actual subreddit.
Is it?
Yeah, I've heard of this. I've not been.
Dragon's fucking car.
Yeah, Saverin's told me about it before.
I've seen like a halfway decent animation of that.
So, did you read the last one? Or was that Shiva?
I did, and then he answered it.
Here's your email. I was that Tumblr.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'll read another one, or I can read that if you don't want to.
Wall of text. Wall of text.
It's actually, at least it fits all on the screen at once, though. So that's not too bad.
Well, Wolfie Man's just in a weird font. So, I mean, it wasn't that bad of an
effect. A weird font? Or a weird font?
He typed it all in Wingding. It very hard.
Yeah. We had to translate it. Okay. Subject line. Yeah, Saverin's pulling stuff out of
like
papers out of my vagina, but by where he's reaching.
Well, let me just get under the table here. There's some papers that have fallen on the floor that I don't
I'm
know.
I'm stomping all over.
Yes.
Oh dear, there appears to be some papers that have fallen elbow deep into your vagina. Let me get them out.
Yes. Things like Sweet Stations, Paris, Patisserie et Fromage.
It is a menu for the Crown Plaza.
Yes.
Yeah, is that fromage or frottage?
So for $16 a person, you can get a lavish display of imported cheeses served with French bread and crackers garnished with fruit, fresh fruits, berries, and edible flowers, assorted French pastries and petite signature desserts, gourmet coffee service, regular decaffeinated and one flavored coffee with whipped cream, chocolate shavings, orange zest, and cinnamon sticks, only $16 a person.
Dear Notcast, hors d'oeuvres. Okay.
Yeah.
The subject line is shit's bad. So pay attention, y'all. This one has got some darkness in it.
Serious mode.
Hey, y'all, I done fucked up.
Uh-oh.
I had a great relationship with a wonderful girl who was absolutely head over heels with me, and I cheated on her with some guy. I reasoned that it was to see if I was really bi, but I was just trying to justify it in my own mind. I got rid of the guy, and the guilt damn near made me sick, so I texted my girlfriend, told her everything, and asked her if she wanted to break up. She said no, and I went out with her and her family that very night. For the next 3 months, I did everything I could to make it up to her. I swore up and down that it would never happen again. I cut the guy out of my life for good. I bought her gifts, wrote her love notes that made her cry, and baked her any number of things I could think of, including the guy that I had slept with. She started avoiding me like the plague during those 3 months outside of school,
making up all sorts of excuses to keep me away from her so she wouldn't be obligated to have sex with me. And eventually she started talking to me much less. She started breaking off conversations early to avoid kissing me, and when I did manage to kiss her, she just stood there, just waiting for it to be over. She would weasel out of saying I love you, arrange for people to sit between us in class and lunch so I couldn't touch her. We would fight almost every day, and eventually she secured a replacement well enough to dump me and immediately hop into bed with him. I know I was almost asking for this, but to have her scream at me for so much as tickling her and then waiting just shy of a day between breaking up and fucking this guy who she's been flirting with for a while, it stings. Now she supposedly has a brain tumor, but she told me the same thing a year ago to get me to date her. But on the off chance that it's true this time, I can't just abandon her. So how do I get over losing this girl? I'm enlisting after graduation, and I figured finding someone to fuck into my carpet would help, but I'm not getting many offers. She still at least pretends to care about me.
He actually put that in there?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I thought that was you just ad-libbing.
No. I'm not ad-libbing anymore. He's looking to try to find someone else, and he does say that in order to kind of get her out of his system.
Mm-hmm.
She still at least pretends to care about me. She worries about me enlisting and stuff like that, but I doubt she'll ever take me back. She's dated assholes like me before. I can't avoid seeing her for at least an hour a day, and her new boyfriend, my replacement, is in my welding class, along with 1,000 things I could use to kill him. He's not a bad guy. All things considered, he's pretty nice, but he drives, comes from money, and is in much better shape than I, and all I can see him as is the guy fucking my first love. Even if y'all don't get to answer this, I think going over it in full like this has helped. Time, I suppose, will help eventually. I just don't want to be hung up on her if I'm dodging lead in a desert on the other side of the globe next year. I know I fucked up. It just might be the worst decision I've ever made to cheat on her. It won't happen again. Love the show. Keep it up, Anon.
Holy shit.
Okay, you done fucked
up.
You
done fucked up, son.
And let me put it this way, at least for girls, sometimes your dude fucks up and you try to be okay with it. You really, really try to be okay with it. And maybe you hope with time you can bring yourself to be okay with it. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. She didn't pull the trigger immediately. Maybe thinking of, basically, I can forgive him with time. Give myself time. And it didn't work out that way. So, no, she didn't dump you eventually. Yes, it eventually ate away at her until, you know. And maybe she was a little bit fast on jumping into bed with someone else. Yes, I have to say that's mighty damn quick.
But she also might have been seeing the dude in the interim time when she was basically cutting off, which is not nice on her part.
Yeah.
But everything you wrote, she is like 2 million percent done with you.
Yeah. And I'm kind of getting a little bit of a worried vibe from the way you talk about her and how you think of her and everything. You need to just stop. Don't talk to her. Try not to think about her.
Don't sit near her.
Don't
obsess about killing her new boyfriend.
Don't make comments like that on the radio. Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah. Like, you know, this is setting up my setting off my crazy flags, especially in light of recent news events. Like, you know, you had that dude out in California that went out and started shooting and stabbing a bunch of people because he couldn't get laid. And it's like, if you're really having some of these thoughts, like you're really thinking I could kill this guy or anything like that, then you need to seek professional help.
I hope that was just him talking dramatic.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Lots of people will throw out a comment like that, not mean anything by it. That's fine. I'm probably over worrying, but you know, the way he talked about the girl the rest of the times, and like, it sounds to me like she was giving off these massive signals and, you were still trying to kiss her and still trying to be near her, and she was trying to distance herself. And
she needed to break it off a lot sooner than she did.
Yeah.
You also needed to read the signals a lot sooner than you did, because,
you know, it this was his first relationship. So, I mean, that is at least understandable partially on the not getting the signals bits. But still, I mean, you fucked up Anon, but, you know, nobody in this situation is really an angel. Because, I mean, she probably should have just broken up with you at the start, or at instead least, of dragging it out.
Or at least not drug it out as long as she did.
Yeah, but, surprise, some chicks really don't like it when they fuck dudes.
Or just cheat on, regardless of sex.
Cheating in general. I mean, that's like a fucking deal breaker for a lot of folks.
Yeah, so forget about this girl. It will feel better in time. It can take a long time to get over somebody. I mean, it can at least take like a year to get over your first one, because it really makes an impression on you, and it can be difficult.
Lord, mine wrecked me.
Yeah, but, you know, just try to put her out of your mind, you know. I don't know if fucking someone else would really help you, because you'd still think about it, you know. If you need to take care of a sexual urge and no one's around, you just jerk off and you get the urge out of the way.
Just try not to fantasize about her.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
But it's not really gonna help get rid of the pain of getting over the relationship, mm-hmm. whether it's a real person or not, that you take care of yourself with. So I wouldn't necessarily make it a goal to find somebody to fuck into the carpet, but
go to E621, find the new fetish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Quad-titted, lactating hermaphrodite boar. Yes.
It's out there, I'm sure.
Find a nice mare with a horse cock.
Saverin's a new something else with a horse cock. Oh, fucking sick of that. What, everything with a horse cock?
Yes, God. Like, it's your character here, except it's their character with a horse cock. Why?
I'm gonna like attach one to your car somehow.
A chance. Just, chance to remember. He's ignoring us.
We're able to get Saverin drunk, I just want him to wake up with like a mini chance, like taped or glued to his forehead.
I'm a unicorn, finally.
A floppy ass unicorn.
No longer a filthy dirt pony.
So, Tumblr question.
Okay.
That commission with Jeff Sandy.
Hey, Sandy, I've got Brodyville some new icon art.
Please stop.
How can I get a hold of apple cider?
he'd be totally for it, yeah, because he'd be like, his character would be like snickering in the background of pointing.
He'd have the glue in one hand and tape in the other.
He wanted to make sure.
Moving on.
Okay,
please.
You're not cast. First of all, have a happy holiday. Hope all of your respective celebrations go well. My question is simple. I was just wondering if you guys and gals would tell us what games you've been playing and are looking forward to playing.
Well, wow. I just bought the new Civ. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet, but I bought it.
I've been playing that. I've been playing Final Fantasy Theatrhythm, the music game.
Isn't the intro to Civ phenomenal?
Intro to Civ, yeah. Well, Civ 5?
The Beyonder.
Oh, I haven't played that one yet, and probably won't until I get it on Steam sale. I
bought it anyway.
I am also playing Risk of Rain. Been playing some little, like, small games, Cloud Built. I've been looking at a couple of interesting things. I actually purchased Bayonetta 2 off Amazon. Don't own a fucking Wii U, and I bought that game. I will be buying a Wii U very shortly. I'm hoping there'll be a Black Friday sale where I can get a system with a couple
really
games.
I mean, really wants one.
And the game's been getting phenomenal reviews. And what's really cool, they backported the original one to the Wii U, mm-hmm. so you can get both games for $60.
Oh. Okay.
And so, well, I think you had to pre-order it. But then again, I also saw it in store at, like, Target where it on the front it said also includes Bayonetta. It's two physical discs. No DLC nonsense, and they really did a lot of really fun stuff.
It's a silly with the Nintendo ass stuff. Game.
Oh, it is beyond silly. It is not self serious. The characters are all really ridiculous in their gun own way. Gun heels, whip hands, chainsaw feet. There is.
Like you just put a bunch of nouns into a fucking. Like a literal tumbler, and you're just pulling them out at random.
Okay, so there's like a dozen different weapons that you can use, and you can equip them to either your hands or your feet or both. Uh-huh. So the combat is based about what type of weapon do you enjoy and what...
Blowtorch feet. You're just walking around on these huge clown shoes.
No, so you have punch buttons and kick buttons.
Uh-huh.
So if you light punch... You do a swing with your weapons in your hands, or you shoot your guns.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you kick, you will do a kick, or use the weapon attached to your heels. So she has like flamethrowers as an option. She can wear them on her arms. She can wear them on her feet, and on which limb you use them changes how they attack.
Is a horse cock one of the weapons? Can she attach horse cocks everywhere?
Maybe no, if they port it. Maybe if they port it to PC.
Saints Row. One of the things,
like there's chainsaw weapon, chainsaw feet, chainsaw hands. If you have chainsaws on your feet, instead of running, she just rides around on the chainsaws,
like skiing.
That's
cool.
There's a bunch of Nintendo specific stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a Star Fox costume where she has a tail. There's a Princess Peach costume. There's a Link costume. There's a Samus costume. Oh. And there's Nintendo-specific noises and stuff. So, like,
going to put her in the Star Fox costume, aren't you?
For certain scenes, yeah. Because there's a couple scenes where it's basically kind of like Space Harry. She's flying using her witch magic and fighting monsters in the skies. If you're in the Star Fox costume, it becomes a fucking Star Fox level. She's in an R-Wing. Shooting dudes.
That's pretty cool.
If you're in the Samus costume, when you dash, normally she turns into like this panther and runs.
The morph ball?
She turns into the morph ball.
That's awesome.
When you double jump with her, instead of getting the in the Samus costume, if you double jump with her, instead of doing the butterfly wings that pop out, she does the screw attack. So you get extra distance. They actually have different gameplay effects.
Yeah, more than just cosmetics.
And like for the Zelda costume, it changes the weapon aesthetics to a lot of the different Zelda weapons. Her big katana becomes the Master Sword.
Yeah, I thought it was just aesthetics. That sounds like they've really put a lot of thought and work into this.
And the Samus costume has a third weapon. You can use the arm cannon as just whenever you hit Y.
Uh-huh.
You have your punch attack, your kick attack, and there's like the special. Her special, she just blows bitches away with the arm cannon on the Samus costume.
Nice.
So you have like three weapon options at that point.
Very cool.
It's really cool. And of course, there's other costumes. You can unlock the original Bayonetta 1 costume. You can unlock a nun's habit. You can unlock a schoolgirl outfit. You can various Chinese traditional dresses. I mean, there's lots of different costume options.
That's neat, though.
It's a really cool game with a bunch of different weapon options, a whole bunch of depth, and a lot of replayability.
Yeah.
And I played the original Bayonetta
I remember you playing the original Bayonetta.
It was pretty cool. And now that they've re-released it and they have a sequel, which is apparently really, really good because it's getting really, really good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a very, very good combat system.
And is this exclusive to the Wii U then?
Yes.
Okay.
Because no other company was really going to give them the shot to make it. Oh. And then I was like, yo, that sounds cool.
Yeah,
and cool. So they did, and it's a console exclusive.
Nice.
Or there's a couple of ones like Smash Brothers and.
Well, Mario. Another thing is I have to have a Wii U for when Fiesta comes around, so because we have to have the new Smash Brothers, or else people will complain.
Smash Brothers.
Speaking of, I need a 360. If anybody has one spare and would like to sell it to me fairly cheap, I need one for Fiesta.
I don't think I. Yeah, died.
Yours died. Mine died after 6 years of service to the con.
I've got one PS3 The other one died.
Ours still works. But we don't use them that often.
And Sarah's
the most frequently played
Wii
game on my PlayStation 3 at the moment is System Update.
Mine frequently is, it's usually one of the streaming services.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine's Netflix.
Mine's, yeah. But yeah, that's what I've been playing is I got back into WoW. WildStar kind of died.
And what do you mean it died?
It's like 4 months old and they've already merged into mega servers and they're like, they're behind on their content drops and there's just fuck all to do unless you're a hardcore raider, which I'm not.
Mm.
You know, at least with Shiva and Sarah, they're hardcore raiders and I can get in on their stuff. And I had a fantastic time on Wednesday running through heroic mode on the final raid of this expansion.
So basically, which is so fucking easy mode. It's
yeah, basically I beat the game for the time being until the expansion comes out in 2 weeks.
And that's kind of fun thing about
And it was really fun because I was, you know, Sarah's a good raid leader.
He
and he's like telling people what to do, and I'm like, I'm not standing in the fire.
You know? I'm a halfway decent tank, and
is this WoW or WildStar?
WoW.
Oh, okay. All
and right. That's the nice thing about the new WoW system is you want to come one day a week, okay?
Yeah.
You know, it changes size now. You know?
You don't have to have a static amount of people. Hmm. It will go from 10 to 20 people, or 8 to 20, I think.
I don't know about 8. I think it's 10's the minimum. I'll have to double check.
Yeah, they actually have like a slightly smaller raid size. It's all flexible, though. So it scales according to the number of people.
So now if we've got 10 people one night and we run, as long as we got like the right proportion of healers, tanks, and
DPS,
you know, DPS we're okay. We want to throw in a couple more DPS, make sure that we get another healer, because tank doesn't really.
Yeah, you need one or two.
And yeah, so we can scale this for people, and people aren't going to be sitting out waiting for their turn to come in.
Yeah,
they can play. It's brilliant.
And it's great because, like, you know, Tesser and Tieran and I, we're not hardcore raiders. We've got other shit to do.
But now you
but
can
it was a lot of fun.
One day a week.
It was really fun to bust out my mage, do some raiding like I used to do with friends on Vent, and kick the shit out of Garrosh, because fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he dies in the next expansion.
I haven't seen the
I'm not saying what happens. He just fucking dies.
Good.
We got like 2 emails left since we're not recording again until the new year. Do you want to hit
January.
Those real quick?
Yeah. All right. So
January 1st will be our next show.
Yep. Because we are playing Vidja. Woo!
And there's holidays.
Do not cast. In the spirit of Halloween, I was wondering if you'd be willing to share any scary stories that really spooked you or interested you in their ideas. I loved scary stories as a kid. You know, the old school scary stories to tell in the dark. Mm. Those with the really horrific interior illustrations. That, you know, when you're a kid, they're like, you don't want to look at that page because the illustration's scary.
And then it was a disembodied horse cock.
That's going to haunt you.
Ooh, it's going to attach to your character and never let go.
Like a leech.
So I was a real good... I read kind of the kiddie light. You know,
like Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. some of the, like, the little bit
I know that because my sister read those.
Yeah. Then I got to reading, like, medical thrillers, like Hot Zone or such, like...
Like Crichton ones?
Not Crichton, fuck, Cook.
Ah, okay, yeah.
I read most of those. Yeah, I really liked those scary stories as a kid. I'm actually kind of sad they've re-released those books, but with much tamer in illustrations.
Really?
Aww.
Yeah. Well, because people were like, these are legitimately terrifying drawings. Holy shit, the person who did these...
Really hates children.
Really hates kids. And what one of the things that also in that story, in those books, they had an appendix where basically it gave you sources for the stories. Mm. Where did these stories come from? Is it a folk tale? Is it a this or that?
That's neat.
Like the story about like the rat, the little dog. No, the little your dog is in fact a Mexican sewer rat and it has rabies. You know, stuff like that. Tell the Wendigo, you know, the Canadian story and whatnot. I read that, but I've not been much into horror as a genre an adult.
I read some King, some Kuntz. I preferred Kuntz to King. King got really repetitive for a little while. Kuntz is really good. As far as like movies and such like that, I was never one for the slashers, and in fact, I get really creeped out by visual. So like Ring, both Japanese and American.
Oh, the American, that movie freaked me the fuck out.
The American one,
Grudge. Similar like Japanese horror shit.
Yeah.
Well,
Jinji Ito manga. Holy fuck, that dude's insane.
Horse cuckoo.
The stupid thing about the American Ring is I didn't find it scary, but those images they flashed on the screen got underneath my skin. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, and when I looked at them, it was like negatives of things. It was like, why am I finding this creepy? Why is this bothering me in the middle of the night? Fuck Grudge. I saw Japanese Grudge in the theater and I had to sleep with the fucking lights on. Because it bothered me. I had to leave the theater. I could not finish it.
Yeah.
I went outside the theater for the last 15 minutes and I wandered around a video game store because my husband was still inside finishing it up.
He was like,
and
nope.
I was like, nope. It took me a while and I still would get creeped out now and again.
Yeah.
Fuck Grudge. Especially that's why I like Japanese Grudge.
The parody that shows the ring and it's like this black chick just slugs the little girl in the head and runs away. Mm-hmm. It's like good at a scary movie parody things or something.
Yeah. Not my thing.
No, not mine either. My brain has enough anxiety and heebie-jeebies. It does not need help.
Now, one thing I will say I enjoy, and I've done this with Zap a few times, I've gone to see Horror Remix, which is basically cut down horror movies to just the good parts. The good parts, the gore and the violence and the blood and the screaming and the bad acting.
The one that...
Oh. And the dude killing somebody by shoving their head into a coffin and then breaking their limbs by shoving them in a coffin and trying to shut the door with their arms sticking out. And they scream for a lot longer than they should have. And it's stupid and terrible. And it's intentionally bad horror movies. But there are low-budget 80s horror movies. Intentionally bad. Mm-hmm. But it's the low-budget stuff.
I've watched a lot of horror movies like that. I mean, I watched the Child's Play series back in the day. Silent Night, Deadly Night, which was banned at a point in the U.S. Because,
really?
I mean, it's a killer dressed like Santa killing teenagers. And it's that didn't go down with very well with the people that are the children.
Yeah.
I really enjoy zombie movies. I enjoy all the Resident Evil films, even though, I mean, I know
those are cheesy.
Yes, because you like her thighs.
They're more, I do like her thighs. movies, though.
But I like her as an action star. It helps that she's attractive, but she's also really fit and really talented with the martial arts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I really do like her, but I also really enjoy just the my favorite one is I think the third one,
Extinction.
Apocalypse. I think it is where they're out in the desert where they have to go to Las Vegas to find fuel, and there's the umbrella facility is in the desert underground, and they're creating clone Alice's to run through the maze. But I love the, and even said this in the behind the scenes thing on the DVD, but I love the whole Mad Max theme of it because they have this armored up school bus and shit like that. And all the vehicles are kind of plated like that. And, it has a very post-apocalyptic feel to it. Kind of reminds me.
It very was a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. But it reminds me a lot of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Kind of aesthetic, which I really enjoy. Plus, it's just whenever you're just killing a shitload of zombies, it's always good, clean fun. I also really enjoy the Romero one where they're in the mall. Is it Dawn of the Dead? Dawn or Day. It's one of those Of the Dead movies. The remake of it that came out in 2003 or something like that is really, really good.
The thing is for large amounts of it, the zombie thing has kind of gotten what ninjas were a couple of years ago.
Bit overplayed.
Way overdone.
Well, it's I'm glad there's finally a TV series with it, you know, because
The Walking Dead, you mean?
The Walking Dead, yeah. Like, for years it was just movies, and now I can kind of watch like an ongoing thing where it's not one of those, oh, everybody except for like one person is dead in 2 hours. You know, you have this ongoing cast of characters.
That's weird. I mean, that's one of the strangest things about Walking Dead is Siam hates gore. He hates fake gore. He loathes gore in any way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. He loves Walking Dead. It's like you get squicked at the slightest little bit of blood, and you're watching this. It's like,
yeah, there's
understand.
A lot of gore in
it's
Walking
like,
Dead.
How are you? He's like, I don't know. I just. It just doesn't hit the button for me. Yeah. I mean, he gets. You've seen Bones, right?
No.
And yeah.
So they got kind of.
I like Bones.
There's usually the intro is they find something, buddy, that's been something incredibly messy, goopy.
Uh-huh.
The special effects guys had fucking fun building whatever it is that's in the intro.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he gets green watching that. And it's like, you can tell it's like, you know, fake as fake can be and way over the top. And he gets squeegee at that and he can watch freaking Walking Dead. I'm like,
well, I mean,
really?
I think you could, and this you could actually ask him this, maybe it's the fact that they're killing the fuck out of zombies opposed to in Bones, those were people.
Well, on the thing is that zombies eat people and tear them apart on Walking Dead, too.
Yeah.
That's part of
and
too.
Personally, I wouldn't watch it.
As far as
I don't like really hyper-violent TV. I don't watch Game of Thrones kind of for the same reason. I don't read Game of Thrones for the same reason. That's just not my thing.
That's really good.
I don't even
Tyrion
really...
and I realized that we should not watch House while we eat dinner together.
Bones is kind of the same
just
thing.
Just because of
Grimm.
that visceral kind of biological sort of thing.
House, yeah. Grimm, and Bones all fall into don't do this while eating dinner.
Yeah, we've watched Bones while eating dinner before. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, even NCIS gets a little close sometimes, depending on where they show, like, the bullet entering somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing that my guilty pleasure right now, and it's a bad yet good show, is I've been watching Teen Wolf.
Oh.
Oh, my God. That it's good and horrible and very cliche and yet addictive.
Yif, yif.
The thing is,
I have not watched it. I've heard that the wolf guys are kind of hot, though.
They are kind of hot. The thing is, the person I watch it for is Styles, and he's the most human of humans. There's nothing unusual about this kid. He's about the only stock human in the show, and I love his character.
Huh.
So,
in the land of werewolves, the non-werewolf is interesting, I guess.
Well, the lead werewolf, Scott, is kind of boring as fuck.
He has protagonist syndrome.
Yes.
You want to run us through the last one?
The last email, because it's 10:43. Holy crap. But it's the last podcast of 2014, so appreciate this.
Appreciate it.
Buy some dongs. AdamandEve.com.
Or Skogs.
Coupon code NOT.
Final email.
Coupon code Horsecock.
You're not helping, Fuzz. Obicon 2014 Conaport. Also, hi again, Fuzz.
Hi!
Hi, y'all. To start off, I'd like to say it was an honor meeting you, Fuzzwolf, and I really tried not to fanboy all over you.
You failed.
Did you get any on you?
So Guardian was like, did you find your fanboy? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he was asking about you yesterday, because I didn't arrive till Friday evening. And apparently both he and my friend Guardian were there earlier in the weekend. So it's kind of funny.
I was already having one hell of a blast, and meeting you turned it into the best thing that I've ever experienced, hand down. Feed that ego.
On
to the con report.
Fuzzwolf's ego's like, oh, it's so good.
I arrived Thursday evening, a bit after dusk, so there was barely any light left at all. After getting redirected from the lodge to the turkey roost, I discovered the normal parking lot, gingerly drove my low vehicle into the dirt, got my stuff, and was a bit confused on where to go. Do I check in yet? Do I talk to people? They were all in the middle of the super sponsor soiree, but there was no one to talk to. I eventually made it down to the field, found a good place, and pitched my tent. I then found the first panel, run by the International Anthropomorphic Research Project, and found that quite intriguing, as I didn't know if anyone was doing that sort of thing yet. My first day ends with a game of Cards Against Humanity played with custom furry-themed white cards.
Yay!
Friday, I spent a bunch of time volunteering in the kitchen washing dishes, perusing the dealer's tables, and learning about the Predator-Prey game. Later, there was a dragon room party at the lodge, then the Club Oaklacon dance, then a fetish panel back at the Turkey Roost, focusing on color communication in a bar. So, hanky code, maybe?
I don't know.
I didn't know that was still a thing.
Okay. I didn't know either. Saturday was the first Jeep parade. Like, we have Grindr for that, right? And I have fun following everyone around, getting fantastic camera angles and pictures afterwards. Then came Predator Prey, the best game of tag I'd ever played.
That's funny.
The evening panels included a more adult-themed survey result from the IARP, after which I met Fuzz. After that panel was a cool roundtable discussion on how to write sex scenes and stories, which I found very helpful.
And I have to say, it was a literal round table. It was a very large round table.
Sweet. It's exactly what it says.
So that was like the whole panel. It was like 10 of us.
Sunday was a wind-down day with charity auction and closing ceremonies in the middle of the day, and then a drama-slash-talent show, Furs Against Humanity, the Black Cards have a furry theme, and Bad Movie Night featuring a movie so bad it's legendarily bad. Manborg.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, I had a fantastic time being around just furries, meeting many people, and stretching myself in new social lengths. I think I'm hooked on this convention thing. MSTAP 85.
He needs to come to TFF.
You need to come Fiesta, dude.
Yes.
And you can meet all three of us in various states of disarray and harriedness.
And run.
P.S. If any of you listeners were in the First Street Parade, please go to F.A. user hamstap85, H-A-M-S-T-A-P-8-5. Then check for the video and photos. I'd like to tag as many people as I can. I only got the contact info of a few people there. Give me a note or a shout if I haven't gotten the files up yet. So there you go.
Okay.
Dude had fun at OklaCon, as you should.
Sweet.
Can't wait to go back.
Thank you for the con report. You know, I love hearing con reports from folks. This weekend, although we won't hear next episode for months, but this weekend is the Pacific Anthropomorphics weekend over in San Jose. So it's their first year. So we'll see how that goes.
So it's like a winter con for San Jose?
Yeah.
Oh.
And next weekend, I'm going to Central Plains for a con.
Right.
So I'm leaving Thursday night. I'll be back Sunday night. And I will have a dealer's table. So
buy some books.
Buy my book. Hopefully folks show up. Last year was pretty small. Be nice to see it grow a little bit.
Isn't it in like Kansas?
It's in Wichita, which is on I-35. So you get on 35 and keep going north from here. It's super easy for us to get to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a furry con in Kansas. So.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle of the country.
There are furries out there.
You know, they don't have a real good social media presence, which would be one of my criticisms. But so I've been trying to like kind of talk it up on my Twitter, on the podcast, and stuff like that. Because like it's like a 6-hour drive from us, and so it's like this semi not local. I'm not gonna say local, but not too far away con that's away from Furry Fiesta in terms of time. So I think it'd be a good, it's like secondary con for like the DFW area to head out to if they want to go to old FurCon a few months later.
Extend our tentacles.
Yeah, so just kind of get the word out there. Hey, there's this con. You know, a lot of DFW folks could go up there, and any people from around the surrounding states and stuff. Rahada's coming in from Arkansas.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Keo and I are going up there. So.
Oh. On con notes, Furry Siesta has dates.
Ah, yes.
It's going to be a meet in the DFW areas put on by the same folks as TFF. It's going to be in the old TFF hotel, the Crown Plaza.
Yay!
And the dates are going to be July 31st, overnight to August 1st. So the 31st is a Friday. We get the space at around 5 o'clock. We can party all night long. Then we'll have it all day Saturday. We lose the room at around 11 o'clock, which means then it's time to go and do room parties. So
we have Palm and Whispering Oaks?
Just Whispering Oaks for now.
Oh, okay.
The Corral.
Still, that's a pretty decent, that's a great meet space.
Yeah. And so it's going to be a matter of come in. We'll use the Corral / Whispering Oaks is the actual official name. as a meet and greet space. Find people, play games, put postings up on the notice board for I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then find people and party.
Open social gathering.
Yes.
Do you guys want to explain that?
So,
OSG, yo!
Open social gatherings.
Yeah, you know me.
Is the term that the Intercontinental Dallas is making us use for what is formerly known as room parties. It's the liability thing, and if they basically advertise things that with the word party in them, it's a huge insurance liability issue. So we don't have room parties. We have open social gatherings.
Both Pinkie Pie and Andrew WK are really disappointed
now,
by that.
You guys, like plain old attendees, can call them room parties.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought we had to actually police flyers and stuff like that.
No, it's basically our public advertising up on like our website.
Ah, okay.
So it's the words that we as TFF have to use.
We don't promote any room parties.
No, we don't. But for like the party floor is no longer the party floor.
It's
floor. We have to call it the open social gathering floor. It's silly. It's insurance liability. It costs them a lot of money. So... But Siesta, as far as I know, the Crown Plaza hasn't thrown down that card yet.
They have not.
But so it's basically we provide like an area for you guys to organize, meet up, and the idea is for people to come, find their friends, pursue someplace where it's not 110 out. So you can come in, suit, go back to your room, cool off, unsuit. Then you can go swim in the pool, you can grab drinks at the bar, you can grab food in the local area, and come back to the hotel, find your friends again, and party some more. So, that's the concept behind Fiesta. We provide the way to find people and a nice, big, air-conditioned space, which in Texas is worth its weight in gold in August.
Yep.
Yep.
So.
All right.
Very Siesta 2015.
So, woo! You guys have a nice, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I forgot about that. Wow.
Don't forget Poland.
Happy Boxing Day.
Yeah.
For our Canadians and
You forgot Poland. I should just remember that.
So you have many happy holidays between now and 2015.
And yeah.
We'll see you then?
I guess. If you're going to Midwest Fur Fest, my husband will be there representing the company. So we have two or three tables again.
I love it when it's like instead of my boyfriend, it's my husband.
I know. I'm like, oh, God. We're doing that together now. We're so gay. So, yeah, go buy some comics and books from Fur Planet. We'll be releasing like four or five new things at Midwest Fur Fest, which is in early December. And, you know,
for Fiesta.
Say hi to Tyrion. Tell him how great Fuzz is and that he should really listen to the podcast.
No, he shouldn't.
His husband's
a
comic genius. And, okay, no, you're right. He shouldn't listen to the podcast.
If he listened. No.
just tell him I love him. But
yes.
And so, that'll be showered with strangers saying, "That's what loves you." And he'll be like, "I know."
Who are you and why
wanted
are you
us
telling
to tell
me this?
You that he knows that you know. Now we know. So on that note, good night.
And horse cocks.
God damn it, Fuzz.
Big balls.